700 years ago, England and Scotland were at war. England, under King Edward II, was intent on creating what might have been an early forerunner of the British Empire, an empire within the British Isles. The Scots had other ideas. They fought a catchweight contest which culminated in the Battle of Bannockburn, where the flower of Scotland sent proud Edward's army home to think again. Well, fast forward from the 14th century to the 21st, and the battle lines have been drawn again. Scottish First Minister Alex Salmond is the modern-day Robert Bruce, David Cameron, proud Edward. But the modern-day battle for Scots independence is one not of blood and battle axes, but for hearts and minds. How do you persuade a legion of potentially wavering Scots voters that their future lies either in preserving the union with the rest of Britain or going it alone as a sovereign nation? And it's money which could be the key. Would an independent Scotland be able to keep its British currency, the pound sterling? No, say voices from England, not on your Nelly. Going it alone means going it alone. Scotland will have to find its own currency. Well, the Scots have accused Westminster politicians of bullying. Stuart Hosey is a Scottish Nationalist MP.
Well, we had last week, we had the Prime Minister love-bombing Scotland from the safety of the East End of London. We now have George Osborne coming to Scotland to basically scare the Scottish people, to bully them into staying part of the UK by pretending that we'll no longer be able to use our currency, sterling. Now, keeping a sterling union is a perfectly sensible idea, not least because it benefits both Scotland and the rest of the UK. And I think instead of this scaremongering and bullying, George Osborne would be better sitting around the table negotiating.
But it's only low-level bullying, isn't it? I mean, George Osborne may be many things, but he's hardly Edward I, the hammer of the Scots, is he?
No, he certainly isn't that, and I do suspect whatever he says tomorrow will be widely ignored by the Scottish people, because they, and indeed vast numbers of people in England, can see the merit in an independent Scotland and the rest of the UK keeping sterling. Indeed, I think the last poll figures showed that's the favoured position of 71% of the people outside of Scotland. So I think whatever scare stories he comes up with tomorrow will be rather roundly ignored.
So a currency union with England is still on the cards, even if there's no political union.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I have to say, this argument, which the No campaign people use, that you can't have a currency union without political union, is just daft. If one thinks back over the 80-year lifetime of the currency union between Luxembourg and Belgium, they had different VAT rates, different corporation tax rates. Not only did it not lead to political union, it didn't even lead to tax harmonisation. Now, of course, you need to have fiscal safeguards in place, a stability pact. We accept that. But both countries need to adhere to that for this to work and work well.
But say you couldn't keep sterling for one reason or another. Would that be Scottish independence dead in the water?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, the bottom line is, because sterling's a free-floating and fully convertible currency, there's nothing to stop Scotland using it, but the formal currency union, which is the best thing for both countries, is the way ahead. There's no practical reason why this can't happen. Indeed, after we get a yes vote on the 18th of September, there'll be no political reason. This is just politicking in the run-up to the referendum this autumn.
Yes, because surely, I mean, whether or not Scots vote for independence, I mean, it can't just depend on the pound, can it? I mean, I thought there would be an appeal here to the sort of a visceral appeal to Scots about their pride and their sense of can-do rather than hanging on to the pound.
Well, precisely. I mean, the appeal of Scottish independence is political control, in the sense that the Scottish people will always get the government they elect, and we'll use the vast resources available in Scotland to the benefit of all the people. The sterling argument is one which has come from our political opponents in the No campaign. I'm not surprised they do that. It's not for nothing they call themselves Project Fear. This is just another scare story to hang their hat on.
Is it quite fitting, do you think, that the original battle for Scottish independence back in 1314 was around Stirling Castle, and now we've got different spelling, obviously, but we've got this battle over Stirling now, 700 years later.
I think modern contemporary Scottish politics, a demand for independence, is a political decision. I think it will bear little, if any, resemblance to a medieval war.
I'm not so sure. We shall see. That's Stuart Hosey, the finance spokesman for the Scottish National Party. So the UK Chancellor, George Osborne, is likely to say that an independent Scotland cannot be part of a currency union once it's no longer part of a political union. But is such a notion really so unworkable or unthinkable? Stuart Hosey obviously thinks that it is workable. But what about Roger Bootle from Capital Economics?
There's no doubt whatsoever in my mind that if Scotland were using the pound, the potential knock-on effects on Britain and the British economy and the British taxpayers' exposure would be very significant. And so, you know, we would have to have some really serious restraints on Scottish freedom if we were to accept a currency union.
What about the sort of Irish example? I mean, the punt, I think, for a long time after Ireland became independent, was tied to the pound. How did that work, or did it not work?
Well, the punt was tied to the pound, but it wasn't actually the pound. I think this is the difference. I mean, there are various in-between arrangements that you could imagine Scotland having. I mean, for instance, it could adopt some sort of currency board whereby the amount of new Scottish currency issued, let's call them the salmons, shall we? The amount of salmons issued was tightly tied to the number of pounds in the reserves of the Bank of Scotland or whatever. And in those circumstances, as long as those rules are obeyed, then the risks on both sides are, I think, manageable. But that would give Scotland no monetary independence whatsoever from the Bank of England. Of course, no say in what the Bank of England did.
So what about the alternative then for Scotland to be genuinely independent and say we'll have our own currency and set our own rules?
Well, I think this is the cleanest and the clearest solution. It's also, of course, the most dangerous. I mean, countries have done it. They still do it. I mean, let's think, for instance, about a country that is in economic terms not so very different in size to Scotland, namely Singapore. She has her own currency, Singapore dollar. So you could do it. But when Singapore has a long record of economic success, and the markets know that, and they have got the greatest respect for, they may be wrong about this, but they've got the greatest respect for both Singapore and the Singaporean authorities in managing the affairs of Singapore. Now, would the markets look upon Mr. Salmon Scotland the same way? I suspect they wouldn't. In particular, they'd be wary of what public spending would be like. They'd be wary of the adverse economic consequences for Scotland of a split from the rest of the UK. And I suspect what you'd find is that this Scottish currency, the salmon, would actually fall on the exchanges quite a lot. Now, that might invigorate parts of the Scottish economy, but equally you'd find that Scottish bonds would be shunned by the markets. Interest rates and bond yields would go a lot higher.
And you mentioned at the outset the EU. What about Scotland's relationship with the European Union? The pro-independence movement is saying Scotland would remain within the EU, but is it as plain sailing as that? I mean, after all, Scotland never joined the EU, and neither, I suppose, did England, Wales and Northern Ireland. It was Britain which joined.
Yeah, we don't know the answer to this. I mean, various people have made different noises. It seems as though the formal position is that Scotland would have to reapply to join the EU, and she might be successful and she might not be successful. And for a long time, it was thought that, for instance, Spain would oppose Scotland's attempt to join the EU because Spain is concerned to prevent secession by Catalonia. Recent remarks by senior Spanish officials have indicated that Spain might not take that line. We just don't know how it would go. There is also a question about the euro, of course, because if Scotland were to apply to join the EU, she would be under enormous pressure to join the euro. That's the formal position now. A country must be at least in the line to join the euro. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And a few years ago, before the euro crisis blew up, I'm sure Mr. Salmon's, well, I know Mr. Salmon's stance would have been that, OK, if Scotland secedes from the UK, we'll use the euro. And that seemed a perfectly plausible thing to say. But after the euro crisis, it doesn't. And all those canny Scots will be looking at the crisis in the eurozone and thinking, goodness me, do we really want that currency?
That's Roger Brutal from Capital Economics.
For more interviews and analysis of global business, search for BBC World Business Report for our daily half-hour podcast.